time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We're going to do a little bit something different on this week's show. We're going to have a pair of repeat interviews from the past 3 weeks. We'll get to those in just a second. And before then, at 9:45, we're going to have Karen Weaver from Forbes.com on to talk about the situation with the NCAA coming up here during the month of June. But until then, we got a couple of interviews for you. The first we're going to have is from the May 15th show. We had a talk with Lynn Elmore, the college basketball analyst and also who works for the Knight Commission. We talked about basketball and about the situation with the Knight Commission. So here's that interview with Lynn Elmore.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Obviously, that wasn't Lynn Elmore, so here's Lynn. Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. I've been really looking forward to this interview since we've got it scheduled, and we're about to bring on, college basketball analyst Lynn Elmore, but we're going to talk to Lynn about more than just college basketball. Good morning, Lynn. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Ken. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Well, we really, of course, you've had the long career doing as a network analyst for basketball for several different people, but we really wanted to get into the fact of what you do with the Knight Commission, because they had a very important ruling that came down this week. First of all, explain to people what you do with the Knight Commission.
Well, I'm one of the co-chairs of the Knight Commission. The Knight Commission has been an organization dedicated to reform in college sports, recognizing the importance of the education mission and how it should affect college athletes. We're concerned about the education, the health, safety, and well-being of college athletes, and recognizing that that should be placed primary above everything else, most specifically commercialism. And since its inception in the 90s, where Dr. Theodore Hesburgh from Notre Dame was the president, Bill Friday from North Carolina started it, the Knight Commission has been in the forefront of reform-minded policy recommendations, including, tying athletics to the academic that's so important for the education of college athletes.
Is that progressing along like you'd like it to?
Well, I think that over the years, college sports, particularly the NCAA, has adopted many of the recommendations of the past, and the Knight Commission has recognized that presidents should be controlling college sports. And, I think there was an adoption to some extent of that recognition. Also, the idea of tying academics to, postseason opportunities. And, the Knight Commission recommended that be the case in the early 2000s. And I believe in 2003, the APR, the academic progress rate, was developed. Rewarded and also penalized schools that based on the metric of eligibility and retention for postseason play, particularly in college basketball. So yeah, we've been able to have some impact from a reform standpoint on college sports, and I think we, with our moral suasion and ability to convene people who are like-minded to talk about these things, that we can have considerable impact going forward.
Your newest report is out. It's called Achieving Racial Equality in College Sports. It was just released this week. But you got four main areas there that you really want to emphasize, don't you?
Yes. We've recognized, again, and I was the chairman of that task force, we recognized in four of those areas, we wanted to close the educational opportunity gap for black athletes. both during and after college. Just by way of example, in the 2021 NCAA men's basketball tournament, almost 20%, or actually more than 20% of the teams had a 30% gap between graduation rates of black players and their white counterparts. We've got to close that. We also want to hold institutions accountable in hiring to achieve diversity in athletic leadership. You know, we recognize that in 2019-20, 23% of the basketball coaches were black, where obviously more than 50% of the players are. And in football, it's even worse. We've taken steps back. In 2020, seven of the openings for Power 5 head coach positions, no black coaches were hired, yet over 50% of the players are of color. So, you know, we have to do better to demonstrate leadership in that area. And we want to invest in programs that support black athletes' college experience and promote inclusion, particularly those who are on predominantly white institutional campuses, because so many athletes complain that they just don't feel a part of the university campus. And finally, to achieve leadership roles in advocacy and governance of the sport, you need to have more inclusion of black athletes, particularly, but athletes of color who are very underrepresented. And when we do that, other underrepresented groups like women and others, that tide will raise those votes as well if we can certainly achieve those goals.
How soon do you think you can get that accomplished?
I'm hoping that considering the legal challenges that the NCAA and some of the other institutional administrators like the college football playoff, considering legal challenges that the NCAA particularly is looking at, like NIL and Alston case, and in recognizing that this is a moment of racial reconciliation with all the things that have gone on, you know, I think that people are standing up and people are listening. We've, as the Knight Commission, we have presented to a number of conferences, you know, and their administrators and even presidents, and stated our case. And the hope is that this moment will turn into a movement, you know, this moment of reconciliation. And notwithstanding a failure to implement change, will have dire consequences for college sports, again, based on some of the legal entanglements that the NCAA and college sports finds themselves in. So we're hopeful that, you know, it'll be more critical in the minds of those who make those decisions.
You know, and then I think I know where you're heading with that. But how if it doesn't happen, what do you think you'll be doing next if this doesn't progress like you had hoped?
Well, we're going to continue to make the case. Okay. You know, if it doesn't progress the way it is, there are obviously other forces out there that look to try to change college sports. You know, my fear is that with some of the legal entanglements that ultimately college sports as we know it will disappear, and it'll be more like the pro game. You know, instead of making advances to keep college sports as part of the education mission, it'll be just about going out and playing for money. And, you know, obviously the college sports that I know that helped me be what it is that I am today will disappear. And there are unfortunately so many young athletes who can benefit from the value of a college education and playing sports for their institution.
You brought up NIL policy, and that's become a real key in this whole situation, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the NCAA particularly have dragged their feet for far too many years. I mean, name, image, and likeness is a property right that should have never been abrogated by the NCAA, and they're just starting to realize that. But look what's happened with the groundswell and the push towards it. They're pushing the NCAA to the brink, and eventually, you know, they're going to allow it. It just depends on the guardrails that are placed on it to keep the playing field level for the institutions and to make sure that the athletes aren't exploited. So it took a while. As I say, the NCAA doesn't respond until the devil is ready to kick the door in. Right now, the devil's in the front yard.
Yeah, I think he's been sitting there for a while too. Just my own personal opinion, because it seems like it almost takes almost a, you know, life or death situation for the NCAA to act on anything.
Yeah, I mean that's been the history, unfortunately. But I think, you know, we're at a critical juncture right now with states passing NIL laws that may or may not, maintain a level playing field from a competitive standpoint for individual institutions. You also have the lack of uniformity that'll make it so difficult to be able to enforce as an administrative body. So waiting that long has placed them in a very difficult situation.
Yeah, and you just penned an article talking about NCAA championships, talking about the unfairness in college basketball and football funding. Did that come out yesterday or the day before?
The article that I wrote had a lot to do with the college football playoff. And a lot of people, mistake the annual distribution from football. They mistake that as being within the power of the NCAA, and it's not.
Right.
That is because of a legal case back in the 80s. The NCAA has nothing to do with distribution of funds from college football playoffs. The college football playoff itself generates almost $500 million on an annual basis, and it directs zero revenue to support national initiatives aimed at diversifying football coaching staff and, other things. The NCAA pays for compliance. They pay for litigation, much of that litigation born out of injuries on the football field. They pay for a lot of things. The college football playoff money goes directly to conferences who, with no restrictions, give it to the institutions. And that's where the money for, some of these huge salaries and, payouts to coaches, et cetera, that people decry as being unfair, that's where that money comes from. The Knight Commission several years ago asked the college football playoff to direct just one penny for every dollar to support some of the initiatives that I've just spoke of. Unfortunately, they rejected that proposal, but now, we're asking them to step up, as we are asking the NCAA to step up and to do something with regard to the issues that we've laid out.
And the other thing of it is, as you pointed out very well in the article that you wrote this week, the football playoff money that they would give would definitely help out the situation, because there's a lot more other things they can go to out there, correct?
Oh, there's no question about it. As we said, there are programs that will, help eliminate some of the barriers that we spoke of that create this systemic, racism that has plagued athletes of color and plagued the sport of college, the institution of college sports for such a long time. And we're at this moment of reconciliation when people are listening right now and recognize the evil. It's time for, college football playoff to step up and contribute their part.
There are times I think Mark Emmert is more your enemy than he is anything else. How do you view Mark Emmert?
Personally, I like Mark. I think he's hardworking. I think that, but he's caught in a difficult situation. He does work for the institutions, and, he has to be an advocate for what they are asking him to do. So maybe we put too much pressure and responsibility on Mark Emmert and not enough on that board of governors and others who are directing him to do what necessarily needs to be done. But in the end, I think that obviously when you have issues like this, the buck has to stop at the top. I think that he has a very difficult focus to make with regard to some of these issues. But I think if you lead with principle, you lead with values, lead with conviction, you can't go wrong. And, I think that maybe they're starting to realize that now.
Also, you guys also recommended that your Power Five people secede. I have to use the word secede, but that's the best one I can come up with from the football side of things for college football this year.
Yeah, to take Power Five football and move it into another conference, if you will, pretty much aligns, particularly the Power Five, aligns like programs with each other so that they can pursue the interests that are most important to them. When you take a look at college football today, which is a huge revenue driver, not every one of the schools has the same interest, although too many of them try to follow the Power Five conferences and ultimately will find themselves in a lot of fiscal difficulty. You know, this is not the first time that we've talked about the NCAA changing its process and changing its alignment. Back in the 70s, the NCAA divided into three divisions, mm-hmm. and that was, again, to align like interests so that, you know, from a competitive standpoint, that the schools that have the same interests can, you know, pursue those interests and remain competitive, and others can certainly, you know, pursue the interests that help them remain competitive but also remain solvent. And I think from a governance and distribution standpoint, it makes a lot of sense for the Power Five conferences to take football and move it aside into their own conference. Remember, basketball is the one sport that every one of the Division I schools certainly pursues. And so that would remain with the NCAA, and because the NCAA distribution comes primarily, if not totally, from the revenues of the men's tournament and the women's tournament. But from a football standpoint, you know, we see that almost 98% of the dollars from the college football playoff go to the Power Five conferences. So maybe it makes a case for them to have the aligned interest in a new football conference.
Okay, one thing I have to ask you, since I'm a basketball nut, you going to do some more basketball analysis this next year?
I may do some. I mean, I've had a great opportunity with the Big Ten Network this year. You know, I'm kind of getting up there in age. When I looked at it, I think I was the third oldest analyst out there, besides Dick Vitale and Bill Raftery. And I've put in about 30-plus years in college basketball, which I absolutely loved, and I continue to love the sport. Given the opportunity, sure, I'd like to do some games, but I certainly won't have the schedule that I had when I was, quote, in my prime, so to speak.
Well, I'll tell you what, I really appreciated this conversation with you, and I'm really getting more and more interested in what the Knight Commission does. So I'm assuming I'll be in touch with you here at some other point in time, but anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about, you know, being helpful and trying to eliminate these issues. You know, let's recognize Knight Commission is kind of putting our money where our mouths are and offering $100,000 in a multi-year challenge of grants to fund research that demonstrates many of these programs that we have recommended that they can positively impact the experience of black athletes and the advocacy of black athletes as well as other athletes of color, and also to build collaborations to try to achieve the equity goals that we've highlighted in the report. You know, it'll be directed towards NCAA Division I, II, and or III institutions. So, you know, the Knight Commission is just not talking. We're also doing some of the walking.
And I really greatly appreciate you guys doing it, because I think it's great that the NCAA isn't the only one that's doing this. I appreciate what you guys are doing. So, Lynn, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you later on. You take good care. We'll catch you later on down the line, okay?
All right, Ken, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lynn. Greatly appreciate it. Take care of yourself. That was the interview we did with Lynn Elmore back on the 15th of May, talking about the Knight Commission and the NCAA. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the Good Driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Wyla's getting ready to bring something new to Clinton County that has never been done before. Local news, information, and maybe a little entertainment for the Latino community in Frankfurt. Hi, I'm Monica. Join me and Wyla Program Director Kevin Keyes for Ahora Clinton County, or Clinton County Now. The show will be delivered live and in Spanglish so everyone can follow along. Our first show will be Wednesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. and then each and every Wednesday, always at 7. Tell your amigos and friends to make plans to tune in to 1570 AM or 96.9 FM. Or you can also stream online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com for the station that truly cares about the entire community.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We just had a taped interview with Len Elmore in the first session. We're going to have one more taped interview here for you coming up around 9:30 this morning. That's going to be with Bill Hancock of the NCAA's. He's the executive director of the Football Playoffs Association. Some things, though, we need to let you know before we get to that. We have some regional baseball action for you today involving one of our locals' teams is Clinton Central, who won the Frontier Sectional last week, plays Riverton Park over at Carroll. That game will be at noon today. The first game over there is Union City against Cowan. The two winners are scheduled to play at 8 o'clock tonight over at Carroll. So if you got nothing else to do, go out and see some good high school baseball this afternoon over at Flora, over at Carroll High School, as Clinton Central plays Riverton Park at noon. If you want to get there a little bit earlier, go ahead and go over and watch Union City and Cowan playing at 10 o'clock this morning. NBA action from last night. Yeah, it just never fails. When you want to see all the L.A. teams gone, they still find a way to survive. Clippers got 45 from Kawhi Leonard last night as they defeated the Dallas Mavericks 104-97 in Dallas. The home teams are in this series are 0-6, so they're going to play Game 7 tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. That'll be on ABC. The first game on Sunday will also be the first game of the second round for the series between the Hawks and the Sixers. That game will start at 1 o'clock. That will be on ABC for tomorrow. Tonight, another second-round action series starts tonight as the Milwaukee Bucks are in New Jersey to face the Nets. That game is at 7:30. The game will be on TNT tonight at 7:30. So that's where the NBA sits as of right now. Major League Baseball from yesterday and last night. Cincinnati defeated the Cardinals by a score of 6-4. It was the Giants over the Cubs by a score of 8-5. Also, it was Pittsburgh over Miami, 9-2. The Phillies lost to the Nationals by a score of 2-1. It was the Dodgers over the Braves, 9-5. It was the Brewers over Arizona, 5-1. We already talked about the Reds and Cardinals. And then the other action from last night is the Padres defeated the Mets by a score of 2-0. Over in the American League yesterday, the White Sox defeated Detroit by a score of 9-8. It was Boston over New York, 5-2. Baltimore defeated Cleveland by a score of 3-1. It was Houston all over Toronto, 13-1. By the way, with Toronto's home games this year, they're all in Buffalo, New York for right now. So that's where that game was held at. Also, Texas ended its losing streak and snapped Tampa Bay's win streak as they defeated the Rays last night in Arlington, 5-4. It was Kansas City over Minnesota, 14-5. Oakland defeated Colorado by a score of 9-5 in interleague play. Also, another American League game from last night was the Angels over the Seattle Mariners by a score of 3-2. So that gets you caught up on where the action is going on in Major League Baseball and the NBA as of right now. A couple of things of note that we need to bring up to you. When the Trailblazers lost to Denver in Game 6 Thursday night, that cost Terry Stotts his job, as it turned out. At least that's mutually agreed to part ways yesterday. Stotts leaves Portland with the second winningest coach in franchise history, including 8 consecutive playoff appearances. The longest streak in the league, he was 402-318 in his 9 seasons as Portland's head coach. I think one of the reasons that this kind of happened is because Dame Lillard, who went off for had a big playoff series, kind of is trying to decide, okay, should I stay there? Should I go? You know, what's best for me coming up? Rumored people to possibly take over for Terry Stotts in Portland are L.A. Clippers assistant Chauncey Billups, former Knicks and Rockets head coach Jeff Van Gundy, Brooklyn Nets assistant Mike D'Antoni, and Michigan's Juwan Howard. Those are the people that right now is kind of the head of the list. It'll be interesting to see if Juwan Howard would take that job, considering the fact that he's got a loaded team up in Michigan this year. So it'll be interesting to see if he decides to take off and leave the Wolverines, where they would not be in very good shape this year as far as the coaching staff. Another big item that happened this week is the Boston Celtics announced on Wednesday that Danny Ainge is retiring and head coach Brad Stevens is being promoted to president of basketball operations. Celtics are going to start a search to hire a head coach to replace Stevens. Ainge is going to work with the team on the transition through the offseason. Celtics staff were informed of the changes Wednesday morning, according to ESPN. Ainge has been contemplating leaving the job for several months. They've been talking about a possible succession plan with ownership, according to sources. Stevens has been the coach for the past 8 years. He's been described as worn down with coaching since the bubble and welcomed the chance to make the transition to the front office, again, according to sources. Move comes a day after Boston's disappointing season came to an end with a loss to the Brooklyn Nets in Game 5 of the first-round playoff series in Brooklyn. Ainge is 62 years old, and that sounds about right. He was the architect of Boston's last title team of the 2008 squad that featured Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen, and was the third longest tenured active lead executive of any NBA franchise, trailing only longtime nemesis Pat Riley with the Miami Heat, now started in 1995, and Greg Popovich with the San Antonio Spurs in 1996. Celtics are headed into an offseason that's going to be termed pivotal for the franchise after they finished 7th in the Eastern Conference, after they were on the heels of making it to the conference finals 3 of the past 4 years. After having years of surplus draft picks and the opportunity to move in free agency, the Celtics find themselves without either this season. Kemba Walker, the team's highest paid player, has 2 years and $73 million remaining on his deal. He's coming off a season that saw him miss 29 games plus Boston's final 2 playoff games with knee issues. Marcus Smart, the team's emotional leader, is entering the final year of his contract and is extension eligible. And Evan Fournier, who Boston acquired at the trade deadline after using a significant portion of the trade exception created when Gordon Hayward departed with free agency last season, will be an unrestricted free agent. Hiring Ainge in 2003 was one of the first of major decisions that owner Wick Grousback had made after the previous fall. Ainge swung deals for Garnett and Allen in the summer of 2007 that turned the Celtics into champions for the first time in over 20 years in 2008, before sending Garnett and Pierce to the Nets for a bevy of future draft picks in 2013, a haul that eventually turned into the cornerstones of the current squad of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Across his 18 years with the Celtics, Ainge has only hired 2 coaches, Doc Rivers, whom he coached in 2004 after his first season in charge, before shocking the basketball world by then hiring Butler University head coach Brad Stevens, who replaced Rivers after he went to the L.A. Clippers in 2013. So Brad Stevens goes upstairs as Danny Ainge goes retirement. It's going to be interesting to see who the Celtics get as a head coach to replace Stevens over in Boston. We're going to take a break now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.